Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our society today has become a society that is truly narcissistic. It's truly a consumerist society. It really is a society that is a me society. Think about it. I always like to say the Burger King motto that we used to have, and I don't know if they still use it, but the Burger King motto, your way, right away, it truly describes a society today. It permeates everything we do. It permeates the church. I really can't stand, and I've said this before, that churches have adapted this model because our government says we have to, of having constitutions and voters meetings. I think it's ridiculous. Why? Because one thing is we get so attached to voters meetings, we get so attached in the church to constitutions and the rules we set in place, we forget about the gospel. And I have literally been in voters meetings before where people will get over in fights over what color the new carpet in the sanctuary can be. And I sit in the back as a pastor and I pray deeply and I pray and I'm hurt and I almost want to cry that our churches have become so disastrous. But it even permeates farther, right? I served a church one time in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. It was a very wealthy church. I wasn't there very long because it was really a sickening place to serve. It was my mistake. I took a call because I was at a smaller church at the time, and this church wanted me to be their senior pastor, and they threw at me all this money, and I was a sinner, and I didn't talk to God about it, and I said, well, I still am a sinner. I'm going to take this call. This church was so bad that the first Sunday we were there, they met my wife after the church service and they said to her, we have to take you clothes shopping. Yeah, that's pretty bad, right? But then it got worse. We would go to people's houses for like parties for holidays, and then they had all this opulence and all this fancy furniture, and they had these big multi-million dollar houses in this community, and then they would make fun of us because we couldn't afford to live there. We lived outside the community. Well, I digress. And then we'd go back to their house later, and all the furniture was gone and all the opulence was gone because they couldn't afford that stuff. They rented it for parties. And I tell you this because this church was a country club. One day, I was doing ministry as I always do in the community, and I like to invite people to church. And I invited these bikers, and they were big and burly. I loved them. They came on their Harleys to church. They had tattoos, and they had short sleeves on. You could see the tattoos. And afterwards, the leadership of the congregation approached me, and this is what they said. We don't like that type here. Don't ever invite other people to church. We'll handle that. It's sickening, right? And that's pretty drastic, but in a sense, all of our churches do that. We don't talk to visitors when they come in because we're uncomfortable. Oh, I've heard people, even at my current congregation, maybe jokingly say it, but you know there's some truth behind it. Well, those people are sitting where I usually sit. We have people who are different than us in church, and maybe it's a mental illness, or maybe they're just different. They think different, they act different, maybe they're hyper. You know how that is, right? Maybe they dress different, maybe they have a bad odor. And we just shy away from them. The church doesn't want to move and actually do ministry to people who are hurting, such as women having abortions, or homosexuals, or transvestites, or whoever that may be in our society, the homeless people. And I see that all the time too. The homeless come and we shoo them away and we look down upon them. Why is that? It's because we're narcissistic. And then it happens in our own lives too, right? It happens in our own lives. I see it in marriages. One spouse wants something their way, the other wants something their way, and they fight all the time, the marriage splits apart. I see it with children. Children who are mistreating parents nowadays. They don't talk to their parents. They withdraw from their parents. Sometimes there are reasons to do that for abuse, but a lot of times it's simply because they didn't get everything they wanted when they grew up. And that's truly the example of the millennial generation and the younger generations today. I didn't get what I wanted. You didn't treat me how I wanted, and so I'm going to not have you in my life, this cancel culture thing, right? I'm just going to cancel you and forget about you and pretend you're not even there, and that'll show you, because it's my way or the highway. It's my life and I care about what I want. We see it in workplaces, right? People trample over each other and hurt other people to get jobs they want and raises they want. This narcissism, it runs rampant. This idea that we matter more than anybody else, it runs rampant in our culture and society. We see it all the way from politics to religion, and it breaks my heart. And it says a lot about the world we've become and a lot about Christianity today. And St. Paul confronts us in our epistle lesson for today. And he says, while you have freedom to be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do, your freedom is in direct service to other people. Now, I want you to wrap your minds around this for a minute. We think about God, right? And God and Jesus. Jesus was man and he was human and he was God. But God, he had the freedom to do whatever he wants. God does. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do, because he's God. But yet, in his freedom, he came and subjected himself to mankind. He became a servant to everybody in Jesus because he loves us. And that is our model of Christianity. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that Christianity only exists as we serve and love our neighbor and serve and love Jesus Christ. The freedom that we have, the freedom over sin, death, and the devil, the freedom that we have, the freedom of being given in Jesus for our salvation only exists to serve and love other people, to put ourselves beneath them, to build them up. This is reality. And no matter what freedom this world or our country may give us, our freedom ends, as we said even last week, our freedom ends when it comes in loving and serving those people around us. In fact, St. Paul goes on to say this beautiful statement, become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. We become a servant to those who need service. We become healers to those who need healing. We become as a people who are empathetic and compassionate to those who are mentally ill. We become loving, kind, and gentle to those who sin differently than us. We become loving, kind, and gentle to the person struggling with transgender issues or homosexual issues. We become loving, kind, and gentle to those who look different and smell different, to those who are homeless in our culture and society, to those who don't have insurance in our culture and society to take care of their bodies. We become different. And oh, in our society today, how many did we hear that? Oh, they're homeless and they don't have any money. They're not working hard enough. What about the mental illness? What about the fact they may not have education? You know, we want to think it's all about them when sometimes the reality is, all the time, the reality is sin and the world that goes to hell around people drags people down. But it's easy for us to look and judge. They're bad people. They should pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Even though we're called to become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel, we are called to become servants of those who need to be served, to those who are hurt, those who are downtrodden, those who are lost, those who are broken, those who are struggling, those who are poor, those who are homeless. We are called to bear one of those burdens in the love of Christ, and yet we take this morally righteous, judgmental stance that is false in putting people down and burying them with a load of guilt and shame so they can't make it. They can't find peace, they can't find joy, they can't find the basic needs they have in this world. And what a rotten, miserable existence for them and for us. But hey, that's our society today, right? We cancel people out. It's a me society. It's narcissistic. To hell with everyone else. Let them go to hell. Damned be them. As long as my life is happy and I'm safe, that's all that matters. And then St. Paul confronts us and he says, you are free, but you are a servant to all. You are free. You are to be all things to all people. You are free, Jesus says, but bear each other's burdens and fulfill my love. And we fail miserably, don't we? Last week we talked about being an example of Christ to the world, and this week we talk about being an example of Christ to the world in how we serve and interact with the world around us. And we fail miserably. I fail miserably. And then we get bogged down by guilt and shame. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who took his freedom, his holiness, his Godhead, and became a servant to the world. He became a servant to the world because, you know, we talk about our identity being a baptism, but I've been thinking about this theologically. Our identity isn't a baptism. Our identity and our worth comes from the fact that we are God's creation. Our identity came when God made us and breathed life into everyone. Our identity is seen in John 3:16 when God says he so loved the whole world that he sent Jesus to die. Not just those who are baptized and Christian. He sent his love for everyone. Our identity and our worth comes from being human. Whether we're Christian or not, our identity is the same to every person in the world, to the Muslim, to the Jew, to every sinner in the world. Every sinner, every person is valued and loved by God. He sent Jesus to die for them. That doesn't mean they're going to be saved. They're saved by faith. We're saved by faith. But Jesus values everyone because he died for the whole world. He became a servant. He became a slave. He became underneath everybody else to lift everybody else. He lifted everybody up in his death and resurrection. On the cross, he said, I forgive you. On the cross, he said, you have my righteousness. On the cross, he said, you are perfect in God's eyes. In the resurrection, he said, you're going to heaven. In the resurrection, he says, I give you my kingdom. In the resurrection and life, he says, you are my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Go and make disciples because I love every person whom I have created, no matter whether they believe or not. My love is for every person, and I want all people to be with me in heaven, including you and me. So our sins and our shame are wiped away because Jesus has died and risen from the dead. And then we are empowered with His Holy Spirit through that death and resurrection, through His acceptance of us, through His giving us faith so that we might be saved, through His gift of word and sacrament. We are motivated and empowered to become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel, no matter what. I hear a lot of people that sit back nowadays and they say things like, well, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. The world is evil. The world is not a fun place to live. And we as Christians sit back on our haunches and do nothing about it. The reality is, the love of Christ is in each and every one of us. And when we become a servant to all, when we become all things to all people, we can change the world. You can change the world. The world can be changed because God is working in us. Please pray about this. Please study God's word. Get to know His heart more. Immerse yourself in worship and word and sacrament. This is why these things are important. We say, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Hogwash. No, you don't have to go to church to be saved, but we need to go to church to connect to God's heart more so we know what it means to be a servant to the world. And the world will change. One heart and one life at a time, beginning a domino effect, the world will change. It will. Because of you. And on that final day, you will stand before Jesus and He will say, you're not guilty. Welcome to heaven, by the way. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.